I want you to look again. I want you to notice this morning two verses in the 130th Psalm, both of which concern one of the single greatest themes in all of Scripture. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word I do hope. Do I hope? My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the waiting room. The waiting room. You know, in many ways, our lives on earth typically consists of moving from one room, as it were, to another. And of course, these rooms all carry different messages, if you will, different memories and meanings. The baby's room, for example, is usually decorated with little animals and balloons and bright colors. And always, that room speaks of anticipation and joy. A dining room on Thanksgiving Day with a table all set with turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and gravy speaks of blessing and fellowship and gratitude. A family room up north with a crackling fireplace and soft recliner speaks of rest and quiet, a place of respite. A TV room where Brazil loses to Colombia in the World Cup speaks of mayhem and loca la cabeza and exhilaration and so forth. There are a lot of rooms in life. Some joyous, some even glorious. And these are the ones we always look forward to with fondness, these rooms. But you know, there's one room that we're all familiar with today that's more of a challenge and even a struggle, and that's the waiting room. In the doctor's office or the hospital, at the dentist or the car dealer or the auto shop, the courthouse or the schoolhouse, a waiting room is typically no fun. The chairs are uncomfortable. The people are strangers. You can't see what's going on. You can't control what's going on. And the magazines are all old and outdated. Waiting rooms smell and feel and look just a little bit off-center. And you know what? Almost always, worry and anxiety accompany you there in the waiting room. So that, again, nobody really likes the waiting room. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, it is the only room in the Christian life where every single believer on earth resides every day of his life. You're not always in the baby room. You're not always in a family room. You're not always in the TV room or in the dining room, even though I look like I'm always in the dining room. But we are always, as the people of God, always in a waiting room. And you know what? If you're here this morning and you're entirely frustrated and disappointed and impatient about that, in fact, maybe you don't even believe it's healthy to live your life in a perpetual waiting room. You just don't abide this whole notion of being someone who's supposed to wait and wait and wait every single day of your life. I remind you of something. I will remind you that somebody else is in a posture of waiting. Somebody else who didn't have to wait is presented in the Scripture as one who waits and who waits perfectly, God the Father. And His Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit are waiting as well. God has waited. God is waiting. And God continues to wait until the day when all of our waiting is done. Until that day, God calls you not only to wait, but to wait with perfection, to wait with completeness, to wait with faith and hope. As the text says, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you today for your word, and I thank you today, Father, for the power of it and what it means for us, how we need to be reminded that not only are you a God who is waiting and who does wait, but you have called your people to a lifetime of faithful waiting. May we know what that means today. We'll praise you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. There are three things I want you to notice in this text today about waiting that, by the way, are uniquely presented in this psalm with the use of a picture. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Now, folks, that in itself is a great statement. It is a great statement of faith and of hope in the midst of waiting. However, the following statement about waiting carries with its faith a certain resolve, if you will. Look at verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Now note this, because twice in this verse, the psalmist uses the word more. And he uses the word more when he's comparing his waiting to that of a watchman. I wait more, he said, than they who wait for the morning. More I wait on God than they, he says it a second time, who watch for the morning. I want to remind you, beloved, that in ancient times, the watchman that he's referring to here, the watchman of an ancient city had to stand on the city walls or the towers and literally watch for the morning sun. They didn't have Big Ben or Timex or a wake-up call from the front desk. Nobody knew exactly when the sun was going to come and break at that farthest horizon. And so, you know what they did? They waited and they watched and they waited and they waited and they waited until the very first actual sight of the sun led them to blow the horn and alert all of the people. They are the watchmen the psalmist refers to in this text. And in this picture that he places before us, he says, My soul, he says, waiteth for the Lord, what? More than they that watch for the morning. But why? Why does he say it's more? Our waiting is more. What is the more about a soul that's waiting on the Lord more than the watchman? Three things, again, in this text. The first one I want us to consider is that, number one, our waiting is more hopeful. Verse 5, again, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord. Now, folks, I want you to think for a moment. I want you to think about the difference between waiting with hope, as the psalmist does in this text, and waiting without hope. Or, for that matter, even waiting for hope. Because you know what? The kind of waiting that makes life's waiting rooms difficult and tedious and discouraging is the kind of waiting that the world has, where they're just waiting and waiting. They're either waiting for hope or they're waiting without hope. Waiting on the Lord, as the psalmist says, is not the same as waiting on the surgeon or the mechanic or the inspector or the board. Why? Because always when you wait on the Lord, when you wait for the Lord, your waiting is always hopeful. And by hope, I mean a true hope. You know, I see people from time to time over at Publix or the Chevron station, and they're standing in line to buy a lottery ticket. And you know what? They're waiting, and yes, you might say, they're also waiting with hope, but their hope is not very solid. When lotto fever hits in America or in the Southeast or whatever, you'll find that the jackpot's $400 million or whatever, and some people will wait a long time then. They'll wait, and they have hope. They'll wait in these long, extra long lines because really, people really want to play the lotto when it reaches millions and millions of dollars. And of course, at that time, they are exponentially less chances of ever winning that thing. I guess they want to only do it when it's lotto fever because $10 million isn't enough to live on. I don't quite get that. But there they are. They're waiting in line. They'll wait with their version of hope. I've watched some. They'll spend $20 on scratch-off tickets, and they get the tickets, and they'll scratch it off. It takes them about 30 seconds, and they throw them all in the trash. $20 for 30 seconds of hope. Once in a while, they'll scratch one off and win $5, and they'll be all excited. I won $5! And I'm thinking, but you spent $20. You know, look at this math. It's sort of like the little kid, you know, that goes to the arcade, and he feeds the claw thing, $10 a quarters until he gets one Tootsie Roll. I got a Tootsie Roll. It's a $10 Tootsie Roll. This is the hope of the world. And I have to tell you, beloved, there's really not much hope in the world's waiting rooms because it's always a false hope. There are folks who are waiting for some political solution to our nation's woes. They are waiting for November. Are you waiting for November? Are you just waiting for that day when everything's going to turn around in our country because of a political election? There are folks who are waiting for a newly discovered cure for their disease or the disease of a loved one. Folks are waiting for a global leader who has all of the answers. They're waiting for the government to make us all prosperous. Just the government's going to make it all right. All waiting. But waiting with a meager hope of no substance. Well, Pastor, then you tell me, what is the substance of your hope? Why is our waiting more hopeful? Verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Well, there you go, right here. In other words, his word You know, hope and change was the theme a few years ago. So you've got his word, or you've got President Obama's word. You have his word, or you have John Boehner's word. You have his word, or the New York Times word. You have his word, or Joe Biden's word. Don't get me started. You have God's word, or the IRS's word. People say, you Christians are waiting. And you know, the world, Hollywood, and secular society, they say it with a mockery, with a scorn. You Christians are just waiting and waiting and always watching and waiting and waiting. Yes, and in his word do we hope. That's why our waiting is better. I was talking with Islay over at Gardens Hospital on Friday and listening to the doctor, who had just come in to explain to Islay his prognosis and all the possibilities. And I sat there and I thought about the promise in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, where Paul said, we ourselves groan, waiting for the redemption of our body. Yeah, I'm waiting. I don't know about you, but I trust in his word so that I am waiting for the fulfilled promise of God who cannot lie, that this old creaky body will be exchanged for a glorified one. I thank God that I'm not hoping. I'm not waiting and I'm not hoping because of some Scientology, because of some fantasy, because of some thought in man's imagination. He says in verse 5, and in his word do I hope. I received a note this week that was interesting. It talked about the Thursday morning gathering of our old goats. You guys know our old goats, right? Most of them sit back there on that back pew. Not all of them, but most of them. And in the note, it said that next year, almost all of them will be in their 90s. Jack Young back there, fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He'll be 92. Bill Waugaman, God bless him, he'll be 94. Dr. Tosh, 91. Thornton Johnson, 92. Stan Johnson will be 90. Bob Weber, you eat with him, right? Every Thursday morning, almost. Brother Wooster, he's not there yet. But all these guys in their 90s, he said they went on calling them the 90 Knights, whatever. Maybe more like the 90 Knights, amen? I love these men. It's amazing. You know, we've had breakfast with them from time to time. It's amazing to consider that so many of them will be in their 90s. Do you know that one day, according to the Word of God, all of these old goats will be spring chickens? And that, the Bible says, forever. By the way, it's not just our bodies we're waiting on, the Bible says, for full redemption. It's also our flesh. Can you imagine the day when there's no more temptation, when there's no more sin, no more failure, and all of the other weaknesses of the flesh? Who says, Pastor? Says God in his word. And in his word do we hope. Our waiting is more. It is more hopeful. It leads us to the second thing you'll notice. Number two, our waiting is also more needful. More needful, why? Look at verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for what? The morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. In other words, the watchman, folks, only has to wait for the morning. That is, a day. The psalmist, the Christian, is making this great statement about more waiting because he's been waiting for much, much longer than that. You know, some of you in this room have been saved for 30 years. That's a lot of waiting. Others have been saved for 40 years. There are folks in here that have been Christians for 50 and 60 years. It's a long time to wait. That's more. That's more than a watchman on the wall. And yet you'll notice that the great calling, the great duty and need of a Christian in waiting isn't, as John puts it, quote, a grievous thing. It's not grievous at all. It is needful. It is also joyful. And it is joyful in part because the end of our waiting far exceeds that of the watchman. You see, when the day finally comes for the watchman that's mentioned in our text, you know what it brings? It brings perhaps a little ease for the sentinel. It might bring a little rest for the nurse or the soldier or for that guard, but only a little, because soon a night will come again and it's right back to nursing and watching and waiting. You and I, beloved, the scripture says, are waiting in our souls. But we are waiting for a morning. Note this, We are waiting for a daylight. We are waiting for a sunrise that brings endless rest, that brings perfect joy. One of the old writers put it like this: Christians who wait have a double joy. He said, the joy of waiting for the joy, and the joy of enjoying the joy when it comes. In other words, we're not moaning and groaning and saying, oh, I wish, and oh, I wish. It's not like that at all. Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended. School day is all done. Heaven will open. Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. But until that day, it is needful that we wait, and that we wait with faith and with great joy. John was telling me yesterday at teen visitation about the visits of the widows over at Courtyard Rehab. He goes there every week nearly, and Rosemary and Eleanor, Mrs. Pleasant are over there. And you know, Rosemary's completely blind. She sits over there in complete darkness, and like everyone else in a nursing home, there's just a whole lot of waiting. There's waiting for this and waiting for that, waiting to get up, waiting for lunch, waiting to go to bed. But you see, unlike the waiting in the world, ladies and gentlemen, her waiting is needful and it's hopeful. One day she's going to see again. And the very first thing that she will see will be the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this because we hope in His Word. And He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. You know, it's amazing. We noted earlier the Bible shows that God Himself, the Bible tells and teaches us that heaven itself is also waiting, Isaiah 30:18. And therefore, the Lord will wait that He may be gracious unto you. The very doctrine of the long-suffering of God is a reminder that God waits, and indeed, not only are we waiting for this redemption, not only are, the Bible says, all creation groaneth and travaileth. And not only are we waiting for this glorious morning, the Bible teaches that all of heaven is waiting as well. Think about that. You know, the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon is pictured as one who is standing on the portals saying, basically, I'm ready to go. I am ready to go. I am ready to go. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, they're not simply waiting for an event. We're not waiting, quote, for the rapture. We're not waiting for an event called the second coming or for the advent or the resurrection. We're not told to simply wait for an event. We are waiting, ladies and gentlemen, for the Lord of that event. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself shall descend. Don't lose sight of that. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You see, the guests of a wedding are waiting for an event. The bride, the groom, they're waiting for the person. Verse 5 again, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. More, Pastor? Yes, because our waiting is more hopeful, because our waiting is more needful. And then number 3, I want you to consider also that our waiting is better and it's more because our waiting is more purposeful. Look at verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And here's the promise, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. May I ask you a question? You know, we've taught many and preached many times in here about the plan of God's redemption. Starts in Genesis, ends in Revelation, and goes on into eternity. My question is, do you realize this morning the great, the glorious and eternal purpose that you have as the redeemed of God, waiting for your full redemption in Christ? I mean, folks, this is not a waiting in line for a lottery ticket. This is not waiting somehow to get a root canal or waiting for a surgery or a job interview. This isn't waiting for election results to come in November. Pastor, I'm waiting to be approved. I'm waiting for the house to close. I'm waiting for graduation day. I'm waiting for my promotion. I'm waiting to get accepted. All of that is perfectly fine in its temporal sense. But I want to remind you, beloved, ladies and gentlemen, our waiting as believers is more, far more, eternally more, precisely because of its great purpose. We are waiting for the very thing that Jesus told us to pray for. We are waiting, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are waiting for the fulfilled redemption of God's creation. What a purpose. What a reason to wait. In the Bible, this is called patience. Sometimes it's called patient waiting. It is waiting on the Lord, but with a sense of purpose, not with a sense of idleness and fatalistic, lazy, apathetic attitude, but rather, beloved, it's waiting with patience and purpose. You know, when Jesus said in John chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God, when he said to first seek God's kingdom and, quote, set your affections on things above so that you don't worry about food and the morrow and clothes and stuff, he was telling his disciples that purposeful waiting always produces patience. Is not life more than meat and drink and raiment, he said. It is if you're waiting with the purpose of God in your soul. You know, there was a man in L.A. In the news recently, he was charged with, quote, negligent discharge of a weapon. Apparently, in his upscale neighborhood, he shot the commode in his bathroom 5 times with a .38 caliber. Boom, 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 boom. Shot it to pieces. I read the article. You know why he shot it to pieces? Because his teenage daughter accidentally dropped her hairbrush in it and it got clogged. And after 45 minutes of trying to get it unclogged without success, he just went and got the gun and blew it away. Now, how'd you like to live with that guy? I mean, 5 shots, he had one left. How'd you like to be his teenage daughter? Why didn't he use all 6 shots? Whatever, Daddy, it's just a hairbrush. I don't know about that. You know, some people simply have no patience. It is not a mark of Christian grace. It is not a godlike attitude when Christians have no patience. I can tell you this morning, beloved, that the cure for impatience in this world is learning to wait in the purposes of God. If you set your affections on things above, if you're waiting in eternity and for eternity, if your hope is in His Word, you're not going to go get a gun and shoot up a commode. Little things in life do not bring out your impatience. You think about this. Noah waited for 100 years. Moses waited for 40 years and another 40 years. Abraham waited his entire life. Joseph waited 13 years after his dream. Simeon waited for 80 plus years. And all of them knew and waited that God was at work. Was it always easy? No. Were there doubts and trials? Yes. But they all waited, and in their waiting, they all knew that they were right smack in the middle of God's purposes on this earth. And so are you. We as a society, we don't like to wait another week. These are men in Scripture that waited for decades and centuries. But we don't like to wait on God for a single day. Read about a man the other day who was supposed to meet his wife at the mall for lunch. He got there and she texted that she'd be a little late because she was in a store shopping. 5 minutes went by and 10 minutes went by. And then after 15 minutes, he was so full of anger. This is a very impatient man, storming out of the restaurant. He got into his car. He sent his wife a selfie, a picture of himself that showed the most ferocious, angry, impatient countenance you can imagine. He was so angry, it even shocked him when he saw it. But you know what? He went back to work. Self-satisfied that if a picture is worth 1,000 words, she got a whole lecture. His wife saved the picture on her phone. So whenever she goes somewhere and she sees somebody and someone asks her the question, are you married? She pulls out the picture. You know what I wonder? I wonder if there was a photo frozen in time of our usual attitude in the waiting room of life, what that picture would look like. For the Christian who waits for the Lord, it should be hopeful. It should be joyful. It should be purposeful and needful. It should be that we wait patiently because we hope in His Word. I don't know what it is that you feel like you're waiting on. But I want to say to you as a child of the living God, welcome to the waiting room. You'll be here the rest of your life. Because the greatest things that you're waiting for, the greatest gifts and blessings that we get a taste of today are eternal. Welcome to the waiting room. Now wait with joy for the joy. And then when you receive the joy, you have double joy. This is the testimony that Christians are supposed to give to those outside these doors. That there's something different about you. That there's a miracle that occurred in your heart and life because you wait more than they, yes, more than they, that watch simply for the morning. Do you realize that no Christian is ever spinning his wheels, ever? When Paul was locked up in prison in Caesarea, not on missionary journeys, not on missionary trips, just locked up for no good reason, he wasn't spinning his wheels. He was doing the purposes of God. When he had to go into Arabia right after his salvation for 2 years out in the desert, you say, wow, spinning his wheels. No, Moses wasn't spinning his wheels 40 years in the backside of the desert either. Because when you're doing something in the purposes of God, waiting itself is godlike. If God can wait, then God's people can wait. And whatever it is that you feel that you're waiting on or waiting for, here's what I encourage us as God's people, Beacon Baptist Church, to do. Wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord because our hope is in His Word. Say, Pastor, how long do I have to wait? For the real things, for the main things, for the glorious things, you will have to wait until God waits no more. And then one day we won't wait at all. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful today that you were long-suffering, that you also waited, Father, and long-suffering with us. Thank you, dear God, that you have demonstrated in your word the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was never once in a hurry, never once ran ahead of your will, always was patient and waiting and doing what you called him to do. We pray, Father, that we will recognize that example. We will understand that you have called us to a lifetime of waiting. But there's a joy in waiting for that joy. May we demonstrate it to a lost and dying world that needs to see a difference in our hearts and lives. And may there be fruit and opportunity to witness to these lost souls. And may Christians in this room enhance their own lives. May all of us, Father, may this church enhance our own walk with Christ because we hope in your word. And that it gives us a patience. It gives a peace in our soul. We'll praise you for that and for the fruit that remains in Jesus' precious name. Amen.